You're listening to R&IB Connect Radio. As sight loss charity, R&IB celebrates its 150th anniversary. We are celebrating the fact that sight loss doesn't mean the end, although it may feel like it sometimes at some points along the way. Former Royal Artillery Staff Sergeant Billy Baxter lost his sight in 1997 after contracting a virus in Bosnia. Billy, who was tasked with finding evidence of war crimes, contracted the virus while he and his colleagues were exhuming a mass grave in the war-torn country. Since that time, Billy has ridden in a motorbike stunt team, appeared on Top Gear, taken a national diploma, performing arts course, received the Adult Learner of the Year award, carried the Olympic torch, become the only blind town crier in the UK, completed the pace sticking world championship, broken the world record for fastest blind motorcyclist, and is the only blind motorcyclist to have completed a lap of a GP circuit. But there was a point in between where things weren't so good. Billy Baxter joins me now. Hi, Billy.
Hello, Simon, and hello to all the listeners. May I first wish the R&IB a very happy 150-year anniversary.
Thanks, Billy. Great to chat with you. It's been a while.
It certainly has. Crikey. The years have just sort of sped by, Simon.
We're both a little older and probably a little less hair.
Yeah, I've certainly got a few more wrinkles, Simon, I must admit.
Now, taking us back to 1997, you lost your sight pretty quickly, didn't you?
Yeah, it was sort of surreal. It was like an out-of-body experience. It's I think many of our listeners will probably appreciate those that have suffered any sight impairment due to illness. You sort of detach from reality, and I kept sort of ignoring it. I was losing the sight in one eye, and I thought, no, it'll get better, but it didn't, and it slowly went completely in both eyes.
But you didn't accept it, though, did you?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't accept the fact that I was blind. I didn't want to be blind. I didn't want to know anything at all about blindness or visual impairment or people to help us guys. And the trust and acceptance wasn't there, Simon.
How about with your family? How did it impact on your family life?
It devastated my family. They all think about the victim or the person with a visual impairment, but it has a knock-on effect with their partners, loved ones and children. My whole family were devastated by what happened to me. So I just went out and did everything with them, and all of a sudden I became this recluse that sat in a room, depressed and, not engaging at all.
Now, I've only ever known the bubbly Billy Baxter, and that seems like such a contrast to the Billy I know.
Absolutely. How did I get here? Well, in a nutshell, I was just inspired by your listeners out there. And I don't mean that flippantly. I was just absolutely bowled over by learning off other visually impaired and blind people who inspired me and encouraged me and gave me support. I wouldn't listen to anybody that had sight. Why should I believe somebody with 20/20 vision that everything will be all right? I wanted to speak to the guys that have walked the walk, and that's who inspired me, your listeners.
And it's not easy to admit that you need help or even to ask for it, is it?
Especially it's a male thing, I think, is that awful word pride, and lack of resource or not having the courage to ask for help.
I sometimes think that sight loss for men, especially if it's during life, can be very emasculating.
Very much so. You become reliant on anyone to say you can't. Simple things like a strange environment, building or area, you require some assistance in either getting to the toilet, which is really embarrassing to ask. You haven't got the flexibility or independence to move, independently, without mapping it out. The whole world, as we all know, becomes a different creature.
Most of us who are living with some form of disability dip into support from charities at some point, and Blind Veterans was one that kind of turned things around for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely, Simon. Again, I was the only blind soldier in the world. I was the only blind serviceman. Nobody knew what Billy was going through. Well, little did I know that there was a charity, formerly St Dunstan's, as we know now, Blind Veterans UK. They were there to literally pick up the broken pieces and start to rebuild me again, Simon.
That's an interesting common theme, actually, when, especially losing sight later in life, there's a period where some of us just feel that we are the only person that's actually ever gone through this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, just sitting there and listening to other people's stories and their journeys, not only is humbling, but it's also inspirational and motivational as well. And I got to thinking, well, it's just my eyes that aren't working. I've still got youth on my side, or did up at the time. And there these people were doing amazing things, just ordinary, normal, everyday things, but they were amazing. They really were. But it was their humour, their humility, their encouragement and their energy.
I mean, I've mentioned some of the things that you have achieved, and we'll move on to that in a minute. But that's an interesting point you make, because although you've done some of these amazing feats, there's very many inspirational blind and partially sighted people today who are just bringing up a family. They are going out to work. They're just living their life. And I think there is every bit as inspirational.
More so, Simon. I talk to members, and I'm embarrassed about... Yeah, people want to know about the extraordinary things like the motorcycling and all the other things you mentioned before. But like you say, it's the ordinary things in life, the ability to bring a family, to get to the shops, to maintain a job, you know, coping with a disability on a daily basis and the other problems that world throws at us. That is extraordinary. That really is, you know, that's amazing.
And I don't think it's a weakness to think that it is quite easy to become isolated with sight loss.
Very much so. If you haven't got a support network with you, or you might be a timid person, not so much outward going, frightened to socialise or interact with people, these can be barriers that really can constrain an individual by sort of confining them to a safe area, which is either their home or where they are, and having that ability to get out there and grab the world by the throat, you know, it takes a little bit of help and a little bit of support.
Little steps along the way.
Absolutely.
Which of the challenges that you've undertaken do you think was your biggest challenge?
For sure, my biggest challenge was in the early days of acceptance. Acceptance that I need help, you know, whether it be guiding, sight-guided, or support, not to try and do everything independently on my own and be stubborn. Humility, the ability to ask for help and to say, look, I'm struggling with this. And that really is a, you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but that acceptance is probably one of the hardest things that I've dealt with since my sight loss. And if I'm honest with you, it's probably taken me, I reckon, about 9 years, 10 years of being blind to start really embracing that.
And you also got some help from RNIB, didn't you?
Absolutely. The RNIB provide legal services regionally. And I was really struggling filling out my PIP forms and other criteria for the new legislation with the Department of Work and Pensions. Oh, where do I go? What do I do? So I contacted the Cardiff headquarters, the RNIB, who put me through to the legal service team locally where I am here in Llandudno in Colwyn Bay. Much to my absolute amazement, this team picked up my case. I explained to them I was struggling with forms, what do I do, what do I write down, how to do this. And they said, leave it with us. We'll send a caseworker around, which they did. They helped me with the forms. They then discovered that I qualify for blind person's tax credit, and a few more other things. I got back pay and all sorts, and they were absolutely fantastic. And what I'd say to listeners out there, if you are struggling with forms or legalities or just want an answer to a question, the legal teams in your areas with the RNIB provide an amazing service, and I fully recommend them.
Now, let's take the blind motorcycling record. I mean, there's no way around it. That was dangerous, even going round the lap. Was that a part of the phase of you accepting your blindness, do you think, by the fact that you still want to prove to yourself that you can do all these things you used to be able to do?
Yeah, it was a double-edged sword, really, Simon, with the motorcycling. It was a case of circumstances that just arose off the back of doing other Outward Bound things with the charity. But it was through my contacts in the army. It's something I really missed, is my motorcycling. And it was just through a chat with a mate on the phone. Next thing I know, I went down to see the motorcycle display team, and we looked at the possibilities of riding a motorbike, and that itself really started to make me believe in myself again, that people were there, that they didn't treat me as a freak, that they treated me as an equal. We did it very professionally, and along that journey I started to really buy into trust with unknown strangers, and with the military. I really do miss being in the military, and working with them again really was helping me come to terms with my blindness.
Would you still undertake something like that if the situation arose?
Oh, crikey. The team that supported me and the land speed record, all of them now left the army. All of them are in contact with, and we're waiting for an Australian chap to beat my record, and then we're back on it in earnest. We're going to take another motorcycle to America, and we're going to do it again.
I thought you'd got all that out of your system.
No. It's in me blood, Simon. I can't. It's infectious. It really is. It's like a drug. It's adrenaline. It's something I really enjoy doing.
And just refreshes. What is your speed record?
My official record stands at 165 miles an hour. That's the official Guinness World Record. The highest speed that we did achieve on that day was 186 miles an hour. The other side of it is Donington. We were the first people to circumnavigate Donington blind. Well, that was a challenge in itself as well, because it involved corners.
Yeah, and somebody shouting you a direction, sort of thing.
Absolutely. It was obviously done at lower speed, and the pressure was on the outriders, because they had to literally second guess how far I tipped the bike into a corner or turn or speed up or slow down. So the pressure was on them, building up that relationship with that magic voice in my helmet. It took a long time, to get together and choreograph what we were doing safely.
Now, you're a bit like a superhero. You're a bit like Superman. You're a superhero at some parts, but during the day, you're just like Clark Kent. You're a rehabilitation officer with blind veterans. How satisfying is that?
My job and role here in our centre in Wales, we've obviously got Brighton, and we've got a Llandudno centre. So my role here is rehabilitation and training officer. So I work and mentor the newly blinded servicemen and women that join our charity. They'll come to one of our two centres for what we call an induction week. So I'll meet them at the door. Prior to that, I'll phone them up at home and explain to them that they'll be looked after during the week. I've inadvertently forgotten to tell them that I'm blind. They will come to the centre on the Sunday to be met by myself, only to hear that I'm totally blind. So that I can lead by example with them. And then I shadow them during the week, introduce them to instructors, get them orientated around the building. I sit down and talk to them. And these people are of all ages, in their 20s. Majority of our members are average age 87. And by the end of the week, they've started to realise that these charities are there to help them. It's so, so rewarding. It's possibly one of the best jobs in the world, really is.
So would you say that after all you have been through, the ups and the downs, that life is good?
Life is fantastic. I live here in Wales with my wife Karen. My family are all grown up. They're getting on with their lives. I've got a normal job. I come to work in the morning. I walk to work. I go home. I get moaned at because I've put muddy shoes on the floor. All the normal things. Oh, you've forgotten to put the bins out tonight. Normal life. It's brilliant. It really is.
Well, before you go, Billy, everyone's sight loss journey is unique, but would you think that there is one thing that we all have to deal with?
Yes. I think reminding ourselves of what we're doing is extraordinary. And I mean that to all your listeners now. What they're doing is extraordinary, and never stop believing in yourself. That's the secret. And you know, get that support from people, and just, you know, nobody's going to come to you. You've got to get out there and believe in yourself.
Billy Baxter, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you as always, and we look forward to the next chapter of, I don't know what we call Bonkers Billy Baxter, do we?
You are more than welcome, Simon.
You are listening to R&IB Connect Radio.